We've been working through Jesus' teaching on the kingdom. And this week, we get to a really interesting story. We had the Good Samaritan last week. And now, and Jesus told that lawyer, he said, go and do likewise. That's how it ended. And it was interesting because right after that, he goes into this village. And in this village, he's invited by the oldest sister in the home. It must have been at this point in that history of that home. She was the matriarch. She was the one in charge because she actually welcomes Jesus into the home. And her name is Martha. And how many of us have heard the story of Mary and Martha? Yeah? I mean, it's a fairly common story. We've heard it, at least when I was growing up. As a matter of fact, in the church I grew up in, they used to have, we call it the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. But when I was growing up, it was the Lutheran Women's, I can't remember. Yeah, Ladies Aid, that's what it was. And they used to have two circles. One was called the Martha Circle, and they were prided themselves on getting things done. And then they had the Mary Circle, which prided itself on study and prayer and all those things, you know. It's kind of interesting. When they came into the church, the pastor would ask, well, what do you like to do? And the person would say, I like to sew, or I like to bake, or I like to do these things. Well, they would go in the Martha Circle. And someone comes and says, I like to study, and I want to pray, and I want to do all these things. He would say, okay, fine, you belong in the Mary Circle. So this has kind of permeated the church over the years. We know the story. We are aware of the story. So what new can we learn as we study the kingdom of God and what it means to be a son and daughter of the King and live out our lives as his disciples and grow as his disciples this summer here at Cross Resurrection? So I thought, well, let's look at the text, because what I can see is the same problem that Martha had, we have. And you see how when she's invited into the home, in verse 40 there, it says, but Martha was what? Distracted. Distracted. It's interesting that that Greek word, the way when I was studying Greek to remember that, it sounds like periscope. That word, distracted. It's kind of funny because when I think of it, I always immediately jump when I think of the word for distraction in Greek, I always think it's funny because what do you do through a periscope? You focus on things. Only what you can see through a periscope is very narrow. And yet the word actually whenever I would hear that word, it would remind me that this distracted keeps us from focusing. And that's what was happening with her, right? She was distracted with much serving. And she was frustrated because her sister didn't have the same sense of hospitality that she had. And so I want to ask us today is, are we distracted with much? How many of us are distracted with, these are weapons of mass distraction? I thought it was a good play on words. Right? You see those there? Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Those are weapons of mass distraction. They keep us from experiencing what we should be experiencing. How many of us have been distracted by these or things like them? Yeah. It's easy, right? You could put cable TV on there. You could put just talking on the phone. You could put texting. You could, you know, there's many things. And those are distractions that, yeah, we can get rid of them. But, you know, we're just used to them in our society. It's very, what always makes me laugh, and I see this quite often, actually, it's surprising, is watching people looking at their phone while they're walking. We talk about distracted driving. We should talk about distracted walking. Have you been to the art fair? How many people do you think this week have been walked into or somehow collided with because someone was looking at their phone? I don't want to venture to guess, but I can tell you it's quite funny to watch. So distractions are part of our life, right? And Martha was distracted. She, the Greek word there means that she was distracted. She was busy. It's a word that means busy. She was busy to the extent that she was missing out on what was happening around her. And there are right distractions, right? There are distractions that we should keep track of. When we come to signs in the road, should we not pay attention to them? If we don't pay attention to them, sometimes we don't listen to the GPS and we end up in funny places, right? Or sometimes we do listen to the GPS and we end up in even funnier places. Okay? It's important that we recognize that there are right distractions. There are things that we should pay attention to. If we're so fixed on one thing that we miss a construction sign, if we're so fixed on, we've got to get to this place and we miss one of those signs that's flashing, how many of you have seen those on I-94? And how many of you have noticed that when they stay there for a long time, people forget that they're there or don't notice that they're there? I see this a lot because and how can I tell? Because it says road work ahead and people are shocked when there's road work ahead. So there are right distractions. There are things that we should pay attention to. It wasn't wrong for Martha to be hospitable. As a matter of fact, in her culture, this was extremely important. In her culture, this was seen as a tremendous sin not to be hospitable. If you invited someone into your home, as we saw with Abraham and the Lord back when Abram and Sarah were at the Oaks of Mamre, and that when Abram saw those messengers come, what did he immediately do? He asked them if he could feed them, right? And I always like the story because I think, how long did it take him to go out and to slaughter an animal and to get the bread baked? I mean, this was not a small affair. This wasn't like, let me just call Applebee's and I'll go pick it up for you. I mean, this was a big deal. And this is the way hospitality was done. You would come in, they would wash your feet, they would allow you a space and they would even entertain you while the meal was being prepared. This was hospitality in the Middle Eastern culture. This was so important that some people have even argued that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not homosexuality and other sexual sins, but it was sin of a lack of hospitality, which I think is way overboard. But I'm just saying it's because that hospitality was so important that it was seen as one of the most important things that you as an individual could do. So was Martha right when she was distracted by wanting to serve Jesus and prepare his food and provide hospitality for him? It was a right distraction, right? It was a good distraction because she was trying to do what was right in that context. And so I think sometimes we're really hard on Martha, but you know, that was where she lived. And I also want to say they're right distractions and they're also good distractions. What are some good distractions here? We have some maybe not so good distractions here. What do we have on here? Well, I think that the government would have a problem if I just considered my children a distraction. What do you think, Ben? Think that would be a problem? He's going to pay attention now. What if my wife or my children thought of laundry as just a distraction? What do you think it would be like? You haven't seen our laundry load. Pardon me? No clean clothes. It would be pretty bad. Yeah. What if there are good distractions, there are right distractions. And so when Jesus says she was distracted, when the Bible says she was distracted with many things, I just want to emphasize that we can be distracted by good things. It's not always the weapons of mass distraction that we're talking about here. It can be good and right things that we're distracted with. We can be distracted with our family. We can be distracted with our job. We can be distracted with our education. We can be distracted with missions. We can be distracted with many things that in and of themselves are good and right. And yet it's because of what Jesus says next that's extremely important. Why is it that these good and right distractions are still distractions? Any ideas? Why are they still distractions even though they're good and right things? Because they take our focus off of Jesus, right? Martha is doing all these things and Jesus looks at her and he puts his arm on her and he looks at Mary and he says, you know, she's doing the right thing here. You're anxious about all these things and these are good things. But she is doing what is necessary. And what is necessary is when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is present, who are you supposed to be paying attention to? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is what is happening is Martha is doing the good and right things because hospitality is extremely important. She's invited her guest in. And yet she appeals to Jesus to try to justify her behavior over Mary's because she understands that what she's doing is good and right. And when Jesus looks at her, and he's just sad. Because he understands that even though she's doing the good and right thing, she's missing a divine appointment. And that's what I guess I'm concerned about when we talk about distractions. I'm concerned about how many times have we in our lives as Christians been given a divine appointment, an opportunity to speak into someone's life, an opportunity to do something in our relationship with the Lord that grows us as a disciple, and we've gotten distracted by good and right things. Good and right actions, you know? I got to spend more time with my children. I got to spend more time with my wife. If you're a wife, more time with your husband. I've got to do this or I've got to do that. And these are all good and right things. But how many times have we missed appointments because we're not listening and we're not realizing that God is in our midst and he has divine appointments for us? How many of you believe in divine appointments? I believe in divine appointments. It always amazes me when I'm attentive and discerning and listening to the Holy Spirit, when I'm led to go to a place I didn't even plan to go, and I meet someone and I say, that was a divine appointment. God wanted that. And if I would have been distracted by doing the things that I was supposed to do, which a lot of times I got lots of to do. It's not like I don't have a list and I couldn't be busy. But the Lord wants to use us to experience his plan, not ours. And so I think it's about relationships, not work. That's what Jesus says. He says, she's picked the good portion. The good portion was she picked the relationship over works. And I'm sorry, but it's hard to discern when to do this. Angela was telling me when she was in Costa Rica, the pastor was saying that they were going to do manual labor, but if they saw someone that needed needed a hug? Yeah. And that was more of a Mary moment, right? Versus a Martha moment. And so what is the good portion? What is it that God is calling us to do at the time? And I guess the best way to define this is to think about what St. Paul says in Hebrews 12 when he tells us that as we live out our lives as disciples, we should keep our eyes and focus on Jesus, right? We should keep our focus on Jesus. He will still communicate with us. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He will still tell us. He will still guide us. He will still show us what his plan is for our lives. It may look very different from what we planned in the morning when we started our journey. By the time we get to the afternoon, it could change. But that's the difference between being a Martha who's so fixated on what is good and right and what is planned that she missed out on the relationship. She missed out on the adventure. And this is how, keep our eyes on Jesus or fix our eyes on Jesus. It's allowing that focus. And the only way that this happens, and I just want to be honest with you because this is going to sound like works, okay? And I know we're not, we're saved by grace and not by works. But we also recognize that in discipleship, that's justification. That's how we're saved to go to heaven, okay? That's justification. But in sanctification, our walk with the Lord, I'm going to give you some advice, and it's this. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with other believers. Spend time with a mentor. Spend time with people who will help you to keep your eyes and focus on Jesus. Because I'll tell you something, we don't see our distractions. How many of you believe this? We don't see our distractions. Because we're enthralled. We're into it. We don't see our distractions. Why do we need someone coming alongside of us to help us with this? Because they can see our distractions. I always love it that everybody who gets in an accident because they were distracted always finds it fascinating that it happened to them. Because everybody else can be distracted and nothing, they're going to have a problem. But if I do it, it's not going to be a problem, right? That's why it's so important to be in a relationship with the Lord and be in fellowship with his people, to be in a discipleship relationship with someone where they can hold you accountable so that they can help you when you get your eyes focused on something else, because we can't always see the distractions that are taking our eyes off of Jesus, especially when they're good and right. Because Martha, she justified herself. Why do you think she asked Jesus to tell Mary off? Pardon me? She felt justified. She felt justified. She was doing the right thing. Why is how many of us have wanted God to instruct people with an audible voice when we are doing the right thing and they're not? How many of us would like to have, you know, that type of experience for them? Not for us, but for them. Yeah. What if there's two different ways to do the right thing? This is why you need counsel. That's a very good question, though. When there's two things that look the right, I believe that that's when we have to be relying on the Holy Spirit more and more. I have to tell you this story because it just came to mind, and I hope I'll do it justice. I had a friend in Bible school whose dad was a pastor, and he actually befriended this other family, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, so much so that they were willing to leave their calls and to basically join together and try to create a community, because they felt the Holy Spirit was moving them and they wanted to be part of this community. And they believed so powerfully in this whole wanting to do the right thing that before they would go anywhere, they would go to the end of their lane of the place they lived, and they would stop and they would pray and they would wait until they heard from the Lord which way they should go. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if I have the patience for that, to be honest with you. But it's interesting because I went to seminary with one of the pastors that was part of this. I went to seminary with him, and you know, he told me that those times in their life, they were so sensitive to God's leading and his prompting that they were seeing amazing things. Want to talk about divine appointments? Go to the end of your lane and decide whether you're going to turn right or left when you hear the Lord. And he just told stories of how they were led to do things that just made no sense, but yet the Lord was there and he led them. But they were extremely sensitive to it. They changed their whole life so that the distractions weren't in the way of them hearing what the Lord had to say for them. Now, I'm not suggesting we all do that, okay? Because quite frankly, I think it messed their families up in a lot of ways, because they did it out of one of these enthusiastic moments, you know, we're going to just do this. And yet, you know, over time, you have to think things through. But what I was basically in answer to Wendy's question is, I think that's where we need to get not only the discernment and not only listening for the Holy Spirit, but also asking our brothers and sisters, what is it that is more right? What is going to draw me closer to the Lord? Because sometimes they can see better than we, right? They can say, well, I believe that this is going to draw you closer to the Lord. This is going to grow you as a disciple better than if you go in this direction and you do this right thing. Because again, these are right things. These are good things. These are not bad things that we're talking about. That's what makes distraction so interesting. Because you know what's evil. You know what's wrong. You know when something is breaking the Ten Commandments. But when it's a distraction, it's that subtle deception. Because it's a good and right thing. It's not a bad thing in and of itself, but it takes us and draws us away from God. It draws us away from our relationship. It draws us away from fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus is the founder or author and perfecter of our faith. What does he want to do? Not only give us faith and justification, but what does he want to do? He wants to perfect us. Sanctify us, make us holy, grow us as disciples. And that's what happens when we're fixing our eyes on him, when we're letting him show us what are distractions and where he wants us to go. So brothers and sisters, my plea for you today is to really seek him on what are distractions in my life. What are things that are keeping me, even if they're good and right things, what are things that are keeping me from that good portion that Mary got. Because what Mary got to see and hear was Jesus in the midst of their home, in the midst of their lives. And Martha was missing it because she was anxious and she was upset. So the good portion is about setting priorities and goals. Everything in moderation, prioritizing our prayer and study time, prioritizing our time with believers to be ready to share our faith with non-believers. And the best is to have things in good order. And again, good order means to spend time in Scripture so that we recognize that it's profitable for teaching and reproof and for correction, for training in righteousness. Because the challenge for us is not only to know that we're saved, but it's to grow and be perfected so that we can go out and share the truth. Amen? So maybe we can just spend a moment in prayer now and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts about what are distractions in our life right now. What are things that are good and right, things that are honorable, but things that are distracting us from doing and experiencing what the Lord has for us right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Mary and Martha. We appreciate Martha. We appreciate her boldness. We appreciate her welcoming spirit. We appreciate her hospitality. We appreciate all the things that she did that were good and right. But Lord, we recognize that when you corrected her, you said the one thing that was necessary was that we have a good portion, which means that we are spending time with you. You are the cream. You are the cream of the crop. You are the top. And we want to be in a place where we experience you. All that you have for us, your Holy Spirit filling us, overflowing through us into the world. We want to experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to experience healing. We want to experience all the things that you offer to us. We want to experience you alive and well in the midst of your people. Because it's only you that draw people to yourself. It's only you that can perfect us as believers to be the people you want us to be. Lord, we desire to have that good portion. So Lord, help us to set aside those things that would distract us. Even if they're good and right things, even if they're honorable things, even if they're godly things. Lord, help us to know what the difference is between a distraction and your plan and will for our lives. Help us fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we ask now that you would just speak to us in this quiet time. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us about those things that distract us.